He's always eager to serve the Lord. He's always eager in his traveling. He preaches to all. And this morning, no different. He's had a little hiccup, I guess we'd say, you know. But I know his desire is to praise God. And it's so good. I could look out in the congregation and see everybody's concern for our brother Bob, you know. And that's how we are with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't want anything ill to happen to anybody, and we pray to God. I know all our prayers were to God that our brother will be able to stand and to deliver that message that he has prepared. And I did tell him if he feels wants to sit, we'll move the microphone over to him, but he's going to try and stand. So, and I know he's here with this desire. So it's a pleasure to introduce Elder Robert Oldham.
Thank you, David. One of the things that I'd like to establish before I get started is number one, I'm not chenille, I just forget these things. Sorry about that. One of the things that I wanted to establish very early in this sermon is that from a conversation I had with a gentleman out in Ohio recently, I really fear, and I'm gonna look at my statement to make sure that I wrote it, say it as I wrote it. And I really feel that we give way too much credit to Satan. We serve Jesus Christ, who has all the powers and all the abilities, and has assured us that he will be with us no matter what happens. Now the interesting thing, my first reference is going to be James, the fourth chapter, starting with the fifth and going to the seventh verse. And as you'll remember, our brother used that that reference earlier this morning. And I would like to, I would like to build, quite honestly, on that same premise. So if you would, I'm gonna read it. James, the fourth chapter. I'm gonna start with the fourth verse and read through the seventh. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy to God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And now this is the verse that I feel that I focused upon. Submit yourselves therefore to God. And I think this next sentence is counsel in our daily lives. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This gentleman out in Ohio that I spoke with recently was extremely upset and convinced that we in the United States were going to have another Revolutionary War. And the authorship of that Revolutionary War was going to be the fight over abortion. And as I listened to this brother in the gospel, it became very apparent to me that I can't combat abortion, same-sex marriages, sin. And this was by example to this brother and sister and their child, their son. I said, take any woman, and if she desires to have an abortion, and she wants the counsel of God, I would be glad to sit down with her, work through the scriptures as I feel they direct her not to have an abortion. That in fact, abortions are equivalent to murder. No doubt in my mind. But I said, when I get done counseling with her and she gets up and walks her way, and I get up and walk my way, what she does is in her hands. I can't stop her. I can share with her the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I can't stop her from making a vile decision like that. And you know, that's the way it should be. That's the way God set it up. He set it up that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. He set it up that if we depend upon the word of God, we will be granted the strength to withstand the perils of Satan, which are going to come against us. I cannot clean up this whole world. I can't clean up your lives. My responsibility, Bick's responsibility, Jeff, Roland, David and Mike, Bruce, we can't force the people to be obedient to God. All we can do is educate. And so I've become much more aware of my responsibility to educate. Remember when David, the great king of Israel, anointed by God, was restless in bed one night. And so he walked on the roof of the palace. And he saw Bathsheba bathing. At that particular moment, he had a choice to make, right? He had to choose to continue to look at Bathsheba or to go back to his own chambers and go to bed. That was his choice. If I were to lie to you about something, it would be my choice to lie to you or to tell you the truth. And that is how simple it stands. That's why we as ministry do not have the authority to dictate to you or to anyone in the Church of Christ what they have to do. We can only share with you what God gave to his Son to deliver to this earth. And from that then, we can give you justification. But at the final analysis, it's your choice. Just as David decided to bring Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, back from the fronts of war, and decided that if he were back, he would be with his wife. But he couldn't cover it up because Uriah was so dedicated to the children of Israel, to the house of Israel, to the God of Israel, to the king, that he slept at the door of the king's chambers. The king told him, here, take these great foods and go home and celebrate and be with your family. Uriah said, no. It's not fair for Joab and my brothers to be out fighting a war and me back home to be with my wife. David meant to cover that up. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you David knew exactly what he was doing. David got his hand caught in the cookie jar. and he knew he had been caught. And so David's effort was to cover that up. But God said no. Now, I remember one time when a group of us were going to sing together. We were going to sing the Bible, which the young men sing now, and Martha helps them. Well, she was helping us. And it was Buzz, Randy, Roger, and myself. And Randy became upset. He wouldn't sing. Because one of the songs says that David, a man after God's own heart. I can understand that, can't you, darling? Kind of betrays the evilness of God or simplifies the majesty. But that's what the scriptures say. That's what Paul said. But Randy didn't want to do that. And that was his right as an individual. To make it not a right, it was his responsibility as an individual child of God to make that determination. And we were here at the local practicing here, and I thought to myself, man, he's choking on a gnat to swallow a camel. But he really wasn't. He was making a viable decision for his life. He was well within the scope of the teachings of God, just like David was. There's another conversation I'm having with a brother up north. He will not accept the fact that I can't remember the reference. God does not look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. Now, in my understanding, that simply means if I sin, it is a sin. The scriptures say that God does not dwell in an unholy temple, or in a filthy temple, or in a polluted temple. He does not, his spirit will not be there. In my mind, I thought, Randy, but Randy was doing exactly what he was called to do as an individual. Whether I agreed with him or not was immaterial. Randy was standing on his merits of understanding. And I admire him for that now. I admire the fact that even though the rest of us thought that there was no problem with it, he did. That's what I get out of that seventh verse in James, fourth chapter. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Why do I do that? Thanks, brother, for 2 Nephi, the third chapter, page 92. But I'm just going to use the 30th and the 34th verse. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. In other words, those things that I am aware of, that are God's will, I am nurturing those, taking them to my heart, pondering the validity, the depth and the width of it. I don't know if Randy even remembers that occasion, and I don't care. He impressed me, and I've been thankful for that many times, because it's a decision that we have to make. I accepted a long time ago. My job is really focused upon supporting the saints. I believe that. Brother Jensen made me aware of that many years ago. Buzz and I had stopped by there, and he said, "Now, boys, you've got to understand." And there was floods all around us. The first place we were supposed to go that weekend, we couldn't get to because of the floods. And he said, he was trying to talk us into going, depending upon the Lord. He said, "Your work right now is pastoral. Pastoral. Supporting, guiding, teaching, uplifting the saints. Pastoral." Now, Buzz moved into a very active part of carrying the gospel forth as missionary work. And he was very good at it. He still is very good at it. I think I can hold my own with it. But my real comfort zone is working with the saints after they've made their covenant and building them. You see, if we put you out in Afghanistan nowhere, baptize you, you're on your own accord. And there goes the whole premise of God and his love and his family. But if his family supports you, you can be wherever you want to. And God's ability to be there with you has been proven time after time after time. When Jenny and I first started talking about me traveling for the church, we realized that this was the responsibility that I would have. Have I talked to new members? Yes. Have I converted them? No. Have I baptized them? Yes. But it wasn't me that converted them. It wasn't Buzz that converts people. It wasn't Charles. It's God's Holy Spirit. Look at the 7th verse again. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What power? Think about it. What power does Satan have? The only power Satan has is to deceive us. That's why the knowledge of the Word of God is so paramount and important. It's why it's so important that we live by the gospel and allow the gospel to give us that strength to resist. Bruce, and I'm not asking you to answer me, but think about this. All those things that you spoke of today that this world is guilty of, can you stop them from happening? Can God? Yeah, just like that. If he would, but he won't. He will not. So the only power I have as an elder in the Church of Christ is to do as I've seen my Savior do, and to carry that gospel forth. If we ask Mike, was there a period when you were being purely a missionary? I think you'd answer, yeah. You were carrying a brand new gift to all these people, he and Frank. But was there a time when you've been mostly a teacher? Yeah, there is. Because it's the same gospel. It will not change. It can't change. If it changes, it's not God's word. And so consequently, when Brother Jensen told us that we were pastors, pastoral work, he was telling us it was an important... At first, I got a little upset with Brother Jensen. And I had my times of being upset with Brother Jensen. And I could do it. And he would love me, and he would argue with me, and Doris would lay down on the couch and she'd say, "Boys, listen to yourself." I can't tell you how many times she'd say, "Boys, listen to yourself." Brother Jensen would always say, "She's the only one that I ever let me call boys." But anyway, she'd say, "You're saying the same thing. You're saying the same thing." And thank God we were. Because we only have one word of God. There's not two different groups, one for Philippines, one for Conus US. They're the same. Think about this. Who pays for the work performed and started in the Philippines? People in Conus, U.S. Who supports that continuing work in Honduras and Yucatan and in India and in the Philippines and in Africa? The people in the Conus, U.S. And we've got to keep ourselves focused upon what our responsibility of that cycle is. And right now, I'm very thankful that the Lord allows me to be involved. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord. And my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. In the 34th verse. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. Who is being inferred in that sentence? Jesus Christ. My faith is in Christ. My confidence is in Christ. I relish in the fact that I can depend on resisting the devil through Jesus Christ. I joy at the purity and the knowledge that my hopeful, everlasting continue of eternity will thrive through Jesus Christ. None of us can do it without him. None of us have a hope of accomplishing it. I thought about that statement that Randy made. I really did. And I thought, why would David be like our God? And I came because David was told by Nathan his family would be penalized. They would be burdened. Didn't say what. Now, God gave Nathan the choice to give to David. He said, you can go back and tell him that I'll punish Israel or I'll punish him. David's whole life was built around building a home for his God, and he was not allowed that privilege. He did a great deal of work on it, but he was not allowed the privilege to do that work. David's child, Bathsheba, was terribly sick. And David fasted and prayed fervently. Why? Because he had faith in his God. And if by chance God would forgive and forget, he wanted him to do that. It's what the scriptures tell us in 2 Samuel. But God didn't. God took the child. David was fasting, and they were afraid. His people were afraid to come to him and tell him the child has died. But finally, David asked. He said, he's dead. He said, David got up, washed himself, cleaned himself up, prepared himself, and went about the task that he had at hand. And they said, we don't understand. Why did you fast before the child died, and now that he's dead? He said, because I had hope before that God would change his mind. But he has spoken, and that's it. God has spoken that there will be agency that you and I and our loved ones have. Why have so many of our families lost certain members of our families? We can point the finger at anybody we want to. But whose choice is it finally? It's theirs. they are the one that chooses. Our son Jason is a good person. I love him as much as I love Jeff. He has chosen to go a different way. And folks, I can go over there and talk to him. I can tell him all the things that he's doing wrong. And you know what I'd accomplish? Absolutely nothing. My responsibility, your responsibility, our responsibility has to be constant in prayer for them. In our family, Shell's is really the only one that can get by with saying much to them. I can't. I make Jason mad. She some way can, maybe it's because she's like her mother. I won't go there. No, I'm thankful she does. Do you understand what I'm trying to get at? We can sit here and we can blame the world for all the problems that come in upon us. And folks, it's not going to change. We're going to be judged by our actions. We can disagree from now to day after tomorrow, and it won't change things. We will be judged because of our works. Salvation to life eternal is guaranteed because Jesus Christ hung on the cross and died. Either we will partake of life eternal, which is joy, or eternal damnation. But we will be judged by our works. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. What a beautiful, beautiful reference. Interestingly, this reference, apparently, I wasn't here for Sunday school, but Bruce said that Kevin used very similar references this morning. Now, this morning, Bruce was prompted to prepare a sermon for this. And Jennifer will tell you, I've been fussing at her all week because I had a sermon totally different than this. And it was built around a song in the hymnal. And I mean, it just rolled out of my mind. And every reference came right along with that song. And what happened to that song, Jenny? I cannot tell you what that song was. But this came to me last night as I was sitting, reading. We were talking, doing our normal thing. And the whole premise came to me. One time after a sermon, I asked Jennifer, I said, how do you think I did? She said, oh, you've preached that sermon before. I said, yeah, you're right, I did. Go with me, if you would, to the Book of Mormon, to Mosiah, the first chapter. Excuse me. Mosiah, the first chapter, and I want to go to the 79th verse. By the way, I left a question on the floor. Does anybody remember what that question was? Does anybody remember? Boy, that makes me feel warm and fuzzy. Comforting. Why was David a man after God's own heart? Why, Belinda? That's right. He loved God enough to trust God and to seek repentance and to trust that his future, his eternal salvation, was entrusted with his God. You're right. He loved God. David was a man after God's own heart because God created the plan of salvation. Page 428, the 208th verse of the Book of Mormon. It's his eternal salvation. And David trusted his God to be good for his word. At that time, I couldn't have explained it to Randy if I tried. I didn't understand it. I never questioned it. Randy made me learn something. I'd say that's a blessing. Page 214, 79th verse. And now I say unto you, my brethren, that after you have known and have taught all these things, if ye should transgress and go contrary to that which hath been spoken, that ye do withdraw yourselves from the Spirit of the Lord, that it may have no place in you to guide you in wisdom's path, that ye may be blessed, prospered, and preserved. That ye may be blessed, prospered, and preserved. I say unto you that the man that doeth this thing, the same cometh out in open rebellion against God. Therefore, he listeth to obey the evil spirit. It's not God being an evil, harsh father. It's a decision that we make ourselves. We choose the path in which to follow. And becometh an enemy to all righteousness. Therefore, the Lord hath no place in him, for he dwelleth not in unholy temples. Therefore, if that man repenteth not and remaineth and dieth an enemy to God, David repented fervently. David accepted God's will and moved forward, being the best king of Israel, doing what he could within the decision of God's decision. The demands of divine justice doth awaken his immortal soul to a lively sense of his own guilt. Over here in 79 it says, and go contrary to that which he has spoken, that ye do withdraw yourselves from the Spirit of God. Therefore, the Lord hath no place in him, for he dwelleth not in unholy temples. 84. Which doth cause him to shrink from the presence of the Lord, and doth fill his breast with guilt and pain and anguish, which is like an unquenchable fire, whose flames ascendeth up forever and ever. And now I say unto you that mercy hath no claim on that man. Therefore his final doom is to endure a never-ending torment. And you could add, as a result of his own choice. Because that's what King Benjamin is trying to share with us. It's our choice. Now this one I have to admit I stole from Bruce. But I thought, yep, I think it makes the point even grander. Go with me to Luke 12. I'm sorry, Luke 21. Luke 21, 34th through the 36th verses. Christ speaking, And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. Notice that? And cares of this life. So that day cometh upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Thank you all, and thank you for your concern. I do appreciate your support, your love, and I thank you.
Hey, thank you, Brother.